I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to Wisconsin Weekend.
During the Vietnam War, the CIA recruited tens of thousands of Hmong boys and men to serve as proxy soldiers in what later became known as the Secret War.
Many Hmong people lost their lives in the war, while others fled for safety, making a dangerous swim across the Mekong River to escape to refugee camps in Thailand.
From there, more than 100,000 Hmong people were resettled throughout the United States, including in Wisconsin. The first Hmong families arrived in Eau Claire in 1976, 50 years ago this year.
To commemorate the anniversary, the staff at a multimedia company in Eau Claire created a documentary film featuring the stories of local Hmong refugees who made a life for themselves in the Chippewa Valley.
McKenna Shear is the managing editor, and Alex Barber is video and photo director for Volume 1 in Eau Claire. They're the filmmakers behind A Half Century Home, 50 years of Hmong resettlement in Eau Claire. And Chong Chang Her is a retired pastor and owner of Hmong American Insurance Services in Eau Claire. He's one of the storytellers in the film. They joined us last week from WPR's Eau Claire studio. McKenna, take us back 50 years to the beginning of this story when Hmong people first started coming to Eau Claire. You saw there's a lot of misunderstanding among the local culture over who these people were. What did you learn in doing this documentary about the first Hmong families who called Eau Claire home?
I learned so much, and I preface that a bit with saying that I grew up in Eau Claire. I was born in Chippewa Falls. I grew up in Eau Claire. I went through the school district here, graduated from high school here before I went to college in another state. I mention that because the basis of what I thought I knew about Hmong people and my neighbors in the community, frankly, was mostly incorrect. And I think that that is a bit parallel with maybe what folks knew about the Vietnam War during the time. You were served a particular picture of the Vietnam War. And in, oh my gosh, I don't know, dozens and dozens of newspaper clips and radio recordings that I listened to or read, there was little or zero mention of the word Hmong. People were referring to folks as Vietnamese or Thai, because I think that even reporters who may have been potentially on the ground or were specifically reporting on the war, they did not know about the Hmong people. They did not know about the culture, and they largely did not know about the secret war either. So I think what I really learned through that history was, even to today, even to when I was going to school in Eau Claire 15, 20 years ago, we still weren't directly saying those words or exploring that specific history. The goal here for me and for us was to attempt to condense a 50-year history, not possible, but to attempt to do so based on talking to people in real life who actually are our neighbors and live here and lived this, and then parse together that educational history and true history together into one place that hopefully is accessible for people in a free, accessible way.
And before we meet one of those neighbors, Alex, I want to hear from you as the video director at Volume 1. What was your approach to taking these modern-day interviews, that archival material that McKenna was just talking about, and putting that all together to tell the visual story here?
Yeah, I think what became immediately apparent is that we needed to hear the story directly from people. So not having so much overhead with video production, not trying to make it flashy or fancy, we just want to hear directly from people what they have to say about the situation, which usually meant that we would go to a place that was familiar to people we're interviewing. So houses, businesses, grocery stores, any place that people would feel comfortable, and we would just talk. We'd talk for upwards of, one of our interviews lasted for almost 3 hours, which also was being translated in real time as well. We wanted to hear people's story directly using the Hmong language. We ended up getting a lot of footage from people that we had talked to, but even more footage and pictures and stuff was just so hard to access. We talked to a lot of people in the community who had even said, you know, we didn't think that that this film or this tape that we had would be relevant anymore. So we threw it away. We didn't keep it. So a lot of people's history and family life growing up, for many people, is gone. That also led us to reach out to a lot of universities. I had reached out to some people in Laos and Thailand to try to get some more pictures and some more information. We actually ended up working with a professor from UW-Madison who graciously allowed us to use an entire collection of over 8,000 images that they had to help tell that story of resettlement, of having to escape Laos to Thailand and then Thailand to the U.S.
I want to bring Chong into it now. Chong, you share your story in the documentary. You came to the United States by yourself when you were 18, first in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and then eventually in Eau Claire. You'd been through this horrible, traumatic experience, arrived in this new place by yourself. What are your first memories of arriving in the Midwest?
Back in our country, we don't have it as snow. I think in April 24, when I first came to America, and I see snow, and this is very cold, even though in April still very cold, but I not prepared for it, you know. So that is the first thing, and it's still in my mind today. And also, we see a lot of, especially one of my cousin told me that when I came to Fort Wayne, and then immediately right after that, they left to Iowa. Left me alone. And he told me that he gave me a dime and a nickel. I think he said, if you need a taxi or a drink, you just go to here and you drop the coin through here, and then the taxi will be coming. And I never thought that going to happen, you know, until I try. So those two things that are still on my mind today.
At one point, Chong, in the documentary, you talk about how it's important for Hmong people to learn about this history. Why was that so important for you?
Well, because the younger generation, I call them is the lost generation, because they really don't know who they are and where they are coming from. And most of them, they just thought that it just happened here. So they happened just be here, you know, but they don't know the history that their parents struggled through in the past. So that's why it's very important. I usually tell them, the younger generation, that they need to know who they are and where they are coming from. So if you don't know your history, you will not be able to, you know, to live in the present time. And if you don't know your present time, you will not be able to prepare for future. So that is very important to know who you are and where you're coming from. So that is very important, yeah.
We're talking about a new documentary film called A Half Century Home, 50 Years of Hmong Resettlement in Eau Claire. Chong Chang-her, retired pastor, he shares his story in the documentary. We also have the filmmakers, McKenna Shear and Alex Barber from Volume 1. McKenna, talking to people, as you mentioned, in their homes and in other comfortable spaces, they shared really powerful stories. Tears, both of coming here, the flight from Laos, bullying and beatings in Eau Claire. What was it like to have people bearing their souls in some ways, in ways maybe they aren't used to doing?
Absolutely. I think, firstly, I'd like to say that we also laughed a lot during these interviews and at events that we went to hang out with families and people. There was so much, as I mentioned before, going in that I thought I knew, or preconceptions that I did not know that I had until I'm sitting with people and having conversations. And some of those things include, like you said, my only focusing on what I thought were going to be horrible stories, true stories, painful stories. And while that's true, and that's vital and important to understanding that history and understanding our neighbors, you have to acknowledge the joy and the success and the laughter. of our Hmong neighbors. I mean, I've laughed so much with everybody. And so I wanted to say that first and foremost. Of course, as Alex mentioned, our interviews generally range between 1.5 to 3+ hours. They were in person with folks. I think all of them were, including with some kiddos. And that looked like me asking questions, I think, that maybe the average person wouldn't want to ask, that maybe are uncomfortable, and that is a barrier to understanding each other, right? You don't want to make somebody uncomfortable, or you feel too uncomfortable to ask questions. What I did was try to ask the questions that felt open-ended enough to just start a conversation. A great example of that is when we chatted with Blia Schwan. I think I asked her one question, and then she told me 45 minutes worth. She walked me through these different chapters of her life.
I always tell people that I feel like I've lived like 3 different lifetimes, just because Laos was so different, and then Thailand was very different, and then coming here to the U.S. was very different.
People just want to be asked, I think. I think people just want somebody to care enough to ask. I think everybody can relate to that in some way. But that's another big takeaway I had.
Chong, the documentary ends with a message that, you know, Hmong people, they've built a community in Eau Claire and the surrounding area, but they're also part of the Eau Claire community. They're neighbors. Can you talk a little bit about how you feel now, so many decades later, living in Eau Claire as part of that community?
Yes, because we came to America as a refugee, meaning that we will never go back, or we don't have any other way. So when we came to America, I usually telling people that we are here, and that we'll stay here, and we'll be here. So we need to have an education so we can help, you know, support the city where we live in. And we need to be a good citizen and to help the city and then also the state and also the federal level. And in order to do that, we need to be a good citizen, you know, work hard and support yourself and support your community. So I'm so proud to be in Eau Claire here, especially the Chippewa Valley here, because we have a lot of people here that, like I said, after the, you know, we've been here for a long time, and I think we've been knowing each other, so we've been helping each other. So I think, yeah, we are here to stay, and we'll never have anywhere to go. So we need to be a good citizen and support ourselves in helping the community.
Alex, the documentary now has been out in the world for a few weeks. What kind of response have you gotten from viewers in Eau Claire and from the Hmong community so far?
Yeah, I think overall the response has been incredible. We've had tons of people send us emails, come into our offices and say, you know, thank you so much for doing this. We had no idea this was part of our history. We've heard a lot from the Hmong community as well, that this seems to be touching younger generations, that people are interested in wanting to learn more. And then also, too, that for many people that have been in the situation like Dr. Herr had been in, where you deal with a traumatic event, it's very hard for people to open up and talk about those things. And along with some other events that have happened in the community, this documentary has also helped to start some of those conversations with people that the younger generation is asking their grandparents, you know, did this happen to you? Tell me your story. It's something that, you know, starting out in this project, we had no idea. Like McKenna said, we had no idea what we were getting into. But I think in a very positive way, we also had no idea how positive the response would be and how much people were wanting to hear this story, to see their stories and lives be put up on screen and to be understood, not just in Eau Claire, but I think, you know, nationally as well.
And Chong, has this documentary, being part of it and watching it, has this helped start conversations maybe with younger Hmong people in Eau Claire?
Yes, the majority of the young people, they still don't understand. So they have to learn from the beginning, because like I said, when they grow up here, you know, they thought they're just happened to be here, but they never know the history. So yeah, a lot of people, they talking to me, they say, yeah, we wish we know, you know, earlier. So I think everybody, especially the younger generation, is something new for them too. So hopefully they will take those and, you know who they are, and especially appreciate the parents, what they did in the past.
That's a great place to leave it. Chong, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Alex and McKenna, thanks for sharing this documentary with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was McKenna Shear, Managing Editor of Volume 1, and Alex Barber, Video and Photo Director for Volume 1, and Chong Chang-her, retired pastor based in Eau Claire. We've been talking about the new documentary film from Volume 1. It's called A Half Century Home, 50 Years of Hmong Resettlement in Eau Claire. It's available to watch for free at volume1.org, and the film includes Hmong subtitles.